The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Good evening, Nerd Clan. Welcome back to Blake's Book Club. Today we are talking about Chapter 10 of Midnight Sun, and it is entitled Theory. Luckily, I am not alone this evening. We are having a special guest, and that is my gorgeous bride.
Hi, everybody. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
So, we're here. We're talking about it. We're going to have some fun. This is a big chapter, Mary. This is a big chapter in that this is when the story completely shifts, when we finally have a recognition from Bella that Edward is, in fact, a vampire. And not only that, but on Edward's half of the story, something big happens that we aren't aware of in the original Twilight story. Edward makes a decision to go kill the guy that was going to rape Bella. What are your thoughts on this?
Holy smokes. Like you said, I mean, you know, when you're reading the first book or you're watching the movie Twilight, you understand that Edward's mad. You understand that he's upset, but you don't understand how much he's brooding over this, how much it consumes him. And for him to make this decision to go get this wretched man, it like opened your eyes to how dangerous Edward is. You know what I mean? Because he's just like willing to be like, yeah, I will go kill somebody.
Yep, that's what we're doing. And speaking of danger, there's, you know, Edward has gone on saying to Bella that this is a mistake. We should not be doing this. Like, and she's like, I'm a mistake. Blah, blah, blah. You know, she does the normal reaction that you would think that mm-hmm. she would have. Yet he's pulled to her. She is pulled to him. What did you think about their interaction in the car? You know, the theories and even her admitting to the fact that she went to the Quileute's area.
La Push.
And
La Push, baby.
had some conversations with Jacob Black, who is now, we're now introducing this other character into the book that will eventually play a more serious role. But what do you think about that and her and their interactions between Edward and Bella? Did it feel natural to you? Did it feel forced? What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you what, guys. I hadn't read the original Twilight in a very, very long time. I have seen the movie since then a few more times, obviously, as I quote, La Push.
La Push, baby.
So I completely forgot that this whole conversation of Edward and Bella discussing the fact that he is a vampire happens in the car and not the woods. And the quote that Blake and I love so much in our podcast, the say it out loud vampire, doesn't happen in these books. That was completely made up for the movie, something I forgot. And to be honest, I'm really digging the intimacy and just the simplicity that they're having this conversation in the car. You know, something is, it feels very casual. You know, yeah. Like, oh, do you get burned by the sun? No, that's a myth. Do you sleep in coffins? Another myth. Like, just this little back and forth that, you know, I feel like a lot of us have when we are meeting somebody for the first time. You know, who's your favorite band? What's your favorite food? Like, at least that's how I am when I meet new people.
Sure.
You know, I want to bombard them with all these somewhat trivial, but, you know, just getting to know you questions. And that's what this felt like to me. And I had forgotten that because I hadn't read the original Twilight in so long.
There's a couple of things that happen here. First, Edward, with a bit of dramatic irony for the reader here, feels bad for Jacob because Bella basically played him and flirted with him. And he was – I love the line here when he says, I could just imagine, considering the attraction she seemed to hold for all things male, totally unconscious on her part, how overwhelming she would be when she tried to be attractive. I was suddenly full of pity for the unsuspecting boy she'd unleashed such a potent force on. I like this dramatic irony. about Jacob Black, and I can only imagine. Now, I know, Mary, that you are, I think, a couple of chapters ahead of me.
Yes.
But I can only imagine what is actually going on in Jacob's head. And I imagine when we get later into the story, Edward will meet Jacob. And I can't wait to find out what Jacob's thoughts are and what Edward's thoughts are of Jacob. Mm-hmm. Do you think they'll get into that in this book?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I do think they'll get into it.
Yeah, good.
I also liked just how observant Bella was. You know, she talks about, oh, you must have gone eating when you were hunting with Bennett,
yeah,
because your eyes are so different. And, you know, she's just really unafraid.
It's so funny that you bring this up, because this is the interaction. But you're not hungry now, she declared, perfectly well sure of herself. Why do you think that? Your eyes, she said, her tone offhand. I told you, I had a theory. I noticed that people, men in particular, are crabbier when they're hungry. I chuckled at her description, crabby. There was an understatement. And all I could think of, Mary, when I read this, was you.
Oh my
because
gosh.
When you don't eat, you are crabby.
Yeah, when I read this, I was like, Bella, I don't know how many women you've met, but they must be all very well fed. Because just this morning, I was telling Blake, like, I need to eat some breakfast. And he was just, like, taking his time, getting showered, lollygagging, wanting to talk about stuff. And I was like, I don't think you appreciate how hungry I am. I'm about to get hangry.
Okay. Oh, man, that's so funny. Yeah, no, Mary, she goes full Betty White. Trust me.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.